Awesome.
It's on.
Hello. Okay. Am I on? Nope. Now I'm on. Awesome. Okay. So I'm just, after worship, I love worship, and now I'm also just filled with just so much joy because, and love just thinking about this is my family and that I get the opportunity to come up here. And I was just thinking, you know, looking out at you, it's just a beautiful feeling of love and acceptance. And just, I've been kind of, I graduated 5 years ago or 4.5 years ago, and I went out to master's commission, and then I've kind of been away. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Olivia Grunseth, and I am a daughter to Randy and Tammy Grunseth, and I am also a daughter of this church where I, you know, I would hide with Katie, their youngest daughter. We would hide and play hide-and-go-seek underneath the bathroom curtain in the back stall and in the back bathrooms, and, you know, we did puppets for children's church, and, you know, Sue raised me in the youth group, Steve and Sue Lee, and just a lot of memories in this church and in this building and with these people. And just one of the biggest things before I start is just I want to be here to say thank you to your support through prayer. And even when I was in Master's Commission, which is a discipleship program, I'll talk a little bit about that. When I was there, I went on a couple missions trips, my first year to Paraguay and my second year to India, and you guys did a lot of financial support for my first missions trip to Paraguay, and that was also something I never came back and talked about to thank you guys for, and that was 3 years ago. And I do really appreciate that, and every time I came back on break, you know, I remember Charlie, you stopped me in the hall once, and I was home on Christmas break, and you shared a verse that you have my senior picture in your Bible, and you said, I'm still praying for you every day, and that you shared a verse with me. I forget the reference, but I had this about God's overflowing blessing upon you even more, and the prosperity and stuff. And, you know, Audrey, you'll pull me aside, and you'll say, how are you doing, even when I'm running in and out of here, not here. And I remember last summer, fall, I came back, and Mel stopped me, and she's just like, how are you doing? Because I haven't been here in a while. And I'm like, I just needed to come home. Like, I just needed, you know, trying to, my heart is ministry, and that's what I really want to do. And these past couple years, I've had the opportunity to just grow in that more and figure out how you balance life and ministry. Like, oh, I get bills now and not birthday cards. Like, you know, balancing all of that. And, you know, and so it really, you know, coming home and Mel just really welcoming me, and just she could understand, and she just loved on me. And so it's just always good to come home here. And I just want all of you, you know, kids in high school, you know, Evan, I know you went away and you came back, but and Lila, you're a younger, and Sophie, but this is your home, and don't ever forget that. And you can always come back here, and these people love you and support you. And just your words and your love for when people come back, and maybe they're gone for a couple months or a couple years, but every word of just you showing interest in them and saying, how's your life doing? It goes a long way. And so I just want to encourage you and keep on doing that, and thank you. And your love and support really builds us up and builds me up. So, but yes, so 5 years ago, or four, I graduated from high school, and I went to a discipleship program, which my sister Serena is in right now, called Master's Commission in Fort Myers, Florida. And I was there for 2 years. My first year, I didn't know I was going to actually go. I was registered to go to college in Marshall? Yeah, Marshall. That's right, Marshall, Minnesota. And Cheryl Brandolin, she stopped me after I got up and shared in youth group. We had to share our senior year what we were going to be doing after we graduated, and I was saying I was going to go to college for political science and all this stuff, and she stopped me, and she's like, I think this might be something for you, and she told me about it. And then that night, I really felt like this is what I'm supposed to do. So I went home, told my parents, and this is after all the registration, and we got the dorm fees and all this stuff, and I changed my mind again. I'm like, I think I need to go to Florida. And so they're really supportive in that. And then so that's when I went off that year, went to Florida. And it's a really intense discipleship program where they grow you in your leadership skills, ministry training, and then they also had core academics. And so we got some schooling done through them And that was the year I went to Paraguay, and you guys helped support that. I'm going to kind of, just to back up here, I'm going to give a brief run through of the past 4 years up till this past year of what's going on now. And so I was there, and then I got to go out to Paraguay on a missions trip, which was awesome. I've been on a couple missions trips before where it's really organized, but this time I was more of a leader, and so it was more intense, and I had good opportunities to grow through that. And then my second year, I was going to go to college, and I didn't, and I ended up going back for another year of training, and that's the year I got to go to India. And a big thing of that year was I learned more about intercession and the importance of it and how to pray. And I was really, really an anxious girl and nervous about everything. And I've gotten better, but I was just stressing over school, it was just really intense. And one of my friends stopped me, and she's like, Liv, do you know how to fight in prayer? And I was like, yeah, we pray, they make us go to prayer every morning. She's like, no, do you know how to fight in prayer? And after she said that, really, caught my attention. And then that year, I learned a lot about prayer and intercession and the importance of you don't need to sit down for an hour if you don't have time, or whatever it may be, or you feel anxious and you don't feel like you have time to pray. In 10 minutes, just the power that you can just totally change your whole day and the outlook of your situation and stuff. So I really got some intense discipleship there, I guess, in prayer my second year. And then that summer I stayed down there. I was in a music internship for a little bit, and then I moved back here in the fall. I moved back here in the beginning of September of 2011, and that was like 2 years ago, and I started coming here. And then I was in that stage of like, okay, I was surrounded in this Christian bubble and really got poured into a lot, and I learned a lot, and then it was the whole, okay, now I'm back in reality, and I don't have the same friends that I used to have, and what am I doing with my life? Because I thought I was going to be in China or Africa or a different state doing ministry or something, and I'm here, so it was kind of a rough season, and that, and then Sue, I know, you took me out to eat once. That was a little later, but again, just like the love of the congregation, people like, how are you? What are you up to? What are you doing? And so I was here for a couple months, and then Pastor Bob, some of you might know who he is, some of you might not, but he spoke at youth group when I was like in seventh or eighth grade, and he really, it just, his message and everything, it just really stood out to me, and it touched me a lot. And when I was in Florida, Larissa sent me a letter and saying, like, how are you doing? What are you up to? And asked me what I was going to be doing when I came back. And then she asked me if I ever considered working with Pastor Bob or helping him with worship, because they would meet for worship in his garage on Saturday nights. And so I emailed him, and I was like, do you guys still meet for worship on Saturday nights? And he's like, yeah. And so that was before I moved back. So I'm here now. I was coming to church for a few months, and I was on Saturday nights going there, helping them with worship in the garage. And that was kind of a lot, because I was like, I can play piano. And I would hold the microphone like way over here, and I would just play and sing, and I was supposed to be leading worship. And I would be like, and it wasn't really leading. And I was just like, it was such a learning experience, because I'm, anyway, so I'm grateful for that, but I was doing both, and pastor's message could get really long, and so I wouldn't maybe leave there until midnight, and then I would like come here and do stuff. So I was trying to work with both, and it got to be a lot. So I kind of dropped out, and I started going there more, and didn't really give an explanation. It might have seemed like I just left, and I didn't. My heart's still here, but and then these past couple months now, I've been coming back and helping Larissa with the worship, like, wanting to like still be here and connected with you guys, and I want to come back more here also. So where I'm at right now and just what I'm doing, and that I just don't want to look like I'm hopping in and out of here whenever I feel like it. But so Pastor Bob, we met in his garage for a couple years. They were meeting for 2 or 3 years in his garage. And then last January, we moved out to a building that we started renting, and now we're meeting out there on Saturday nights for church. And the church in the garage started with just a few people, and then it would grow. So some weeks you'd have 5, and some weeks you'd have 20, and some weeks you'd have 2. And it was really like in and out. And now there's like a constant core of like 15 of us with the children. Like half of them are the children. There's a lot of kids, so it's really fun. And so there's a constant core now, and a lot of like the ministry that we do, the people that come in, we go through a lot of these like waves of people, and the people that come in, Pastor Bob works at this discipleship house in Rochester, Damascus Way. I'm not really sure the program that they do, but it's kind of like a halfway house. And so he gets in contact and he ministers there with a lot of the lot of men there. And so we'll get these people kind of in between, and once they're done with the program, sometimes we don't see them like ever again, and sometimes they'll come back after a few months, or they go off and on, or maybe a couple will stay for a while and then they'll go. So it's a lot of ups and downs, and that was something that God really worked with me in, because when I was in Florida, the church down there is like this huge mega church, and they do like 3 services, and they have everything you need, and they have support, and the bass player might not show up, and church is starting in 2 minutes, be like, we need you on bass, boom, there's someone there. And so they have everything. And so going from that to this was really stretching, to be like just kind of stretching yourself and doing like 3 or 4 different jobs, and you guys, I'm sure, understand that here quite a bit. But it was just really bringing it back to like the heart of why we meet together, the heart of worship, the heart of, you know, community is so important, and no matter how big or small, it's just so important, and no matter where people go, you know, when they come back, like loving on them. And so I've learned a lot through that, and Pastor has been really, just really pushed me a lot, and I used to be really sensitive, and I think it was just really good for me to be there, because he encouraged me quite a bit, and it's really what I needed to get out of my comfort zone and to move on to things, because I know, like, back in youth group, this probably wouldn't be happening. I would be so shy and nervous, and, like, Sue knows, and Steve also. And so it's just been a really good growing season for me the past year there, and really learning. You know, I remember on the drive home from church one night, on a Saturday night, I was still living at my parents', and I was driving home in the winter 2 years ago in December, and I was crying all the way home, because I knew God wanted me to be in Rochester, and I was like, no, I thought I was just going to be here for a few months, and then I'll go somewhere else or something. And that wasn't it. And then being there and working, it was like, God's like, it's not about where you are. It's the people, the people, the people, the people are, you know, like, my heart is for the people. It doesn't matter, you know, who it is. And, you know, America needs God so much. And my focus was so much on, like, going out and doing missions and adventures. And it's like, people here. And if God can't trust me with the people that he surrounds me with in my backyard, like, how is he going to trust me to go out into, you know, a different country or something? And so that happened, and then so I had a heart change, and that December, January, I really started praying, okay, how am I going to move to Rochester now? Now my focus is like, okay, I am staying here long term. How am I going to get to Rochester? And then in June, I ended up moving in with my aunt, Brenda, for a couple months while I was still looking for a place. And during that time was kind of confusing, because I knew I had to find a place in August, and I didn't know where I was going or what I was doing. I just knew I had to be in Rochester. That was my missions field for right now. And I was working at Roscoe's, this little kind of like an A&W outdoors thing. And I remember one day these people pulled up in a car and they all jumped out. And I just remember thinking, like, there's something about those people. Like, they're the most beautiful people I've ever seen. And I was just like, working at Roscoe's, like, the atmosphere and with just the different people that come for all the festivals of Rochester, you know, it gets kind of weary on your soul. And so these people came out, and they came up and they ordered, and I was just like staring at them. I'd be like, how do I know you? Like, you look so familiar. How do I know you? And then they went around to the other window, and I gave them their food, and I was like, I'm sorry, this might be weird, but I know you from somewhere. Like, can we talk and try to figure out? And I'm like, where are you from? What are you doing? So we were talking, and they're from the cities. They're driving from Winona back to the cities, and they all just, they're like, well, a bunch of us, like, his mom needed his garage painted, so we drove to Winona to paint it. I was like, who does that? Like, I don't hear that much anymore. Like, all of you just kind of know each other, and you decided to take a trip, like, 3 hours away to go paint his mom's house or garage. And talking to them more, I'm like, well, how do you know each other? And they just seem so interesting. They're like, well, we all go to different schools and jobs, but we all kind of live in this community house. There's like a guys and girls house, and, you know, and we all like get together to worship. And I was like, oh. I'm like, you love Jesus, don't you? And then they're like, yes, and so do you. I'm like, I love Jesus. And they're like, that's why. And she's like, that's why we look familiar, because spirit recognizes spirit, and we could just feel that bond. And I was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, hang on. And I turn around, I tell my coworkers, I'm like, I'm taking a smoke break. I'm gonna go out there, because they get one, and I'm like, so I grabbed a rag, and then I just, like, wiped the same spot on the table for, like, 15 minutes, and I was just, like, talking to them all. There's, like, 10 of them, and I was so uplifted, because I just felt so, I didn't know anybody in Rochester at the time, and, like, the people I did know were here, or, you know, more out in this area, and to have that community, I didn't have it, and I was just, I felt so refreshed, and I was just like, people that love Jesus, you love Jesus, and I was like talking to them, and it was so uplifting. And then I think that's when my coworkers were like, yep, definitely Jesus freak, because they probably were like questioning, but after that, like, they heard our conversations, and it was just like, but so that was really encouraging. And they told me, they're like, okay, we all go to different schools and jobs and even churches, but we all come together and we just have this heart for prayer and worship. And I was like, I'm really missing community and the power of that. Because like my church in Rochester, it goes up and down, but it's a lot of the people are on spiritual milk, and it's a lot of discipling. And so to get the same community that I was used to in Masters, where I had 50 people surrounding me and encouraging me every day, it was just a really, it was a good season, because I learned how to eat on my own a little bit more spiritually, and so every season is good, but it was just a tougher, more tough one. And anyway, so talking to these people more, and then that's when I was like, I want this community, like, I need it for myself. And so then I really started praying. I'm like, God, I want to start one of those houses. I want a community house. And okay, I was skipping ahead a lot of details. Ran into this girl, and ran into her twice, met her once, and then like 3 months later met her again when I was in the process of looking somewhere else to live. And I was like, I know you. And she's like, yeah, you're Olivia. I'm like, I don't remember your name. But then we were like, let's go get coffee. And so we went out and we talked, and then she was driving me back home, and she was like, so, you know, she heard I was looking for a place, and she's like, well, I could show you the house where my husband's looking to rent this house out. So we drove past it, and I was like, that would be wonderful. She's like, yeah, just find 5 or 6 girls. And I was like, I know nobody. And I was like, great. And so I pushed that aside. But then a couple of weeks later, that like pressing desire, like I was on my floor like crying. I was like, God, I want this community. And then so he was like, okay, then go for the house, like get it. And so I told them, I'm like, okay, I want to rent this house and all these things, and like, it's good. He's like, do you have the girls? And I'm like, yes, I have them. And I didn't. I didn't know anybody who was going to move in. And it was just, God worked miracles within like a month of finding the right people to be there, like girls who had a heart for the Lord, whether they were just like learning about the Lord or if they were like really on fire and working for the Lord. And so within a month, some girls moved in. And then a couple months later, we started a worship like every Sunday night at my house, and from there it's just grown into this community, and it's been like just really wonderful and encouraging. And yeah, and so right now it's like the community, we all go to different churches, and you know, work schedules and everything is different, but we meet for worship, and that's encouraging. And then just working with Pastor Bob now and growing the church and learning that and learning how to balance work and ministry together. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I forgot to say this, but I want you guys, if you have any questions, I would really appreciate it if you would ask, because that was just a whole lot of 4 years into just where I'm at now. But if you have any questions, I would really love to answer a couple of them, if it would better you to help understand me or where I'm at right now or anything. But that's just kind of me wanting to say I love you guys. Yeah.
we were putting the Hell House together because she came and painted.
Yes. Josh Hetrick's Christ Community. Yep. Yep. So Zach put on a Hell House that he kind of organized a couple years ago over Halloween, where instead of like being a haunted house, it was like basically these kids are sent through hell and then at the end you have the gospel message. And do you want to receive Jesus? and so through that, Zach went into Rochester and he was like looking for young adults to help with that. And Anna Doctor was one that came out and we actually... Yeah, she painted, and Sam. Oh, yeah. So Anna and Sam both came out. One day, Anna came out. It was before the day of, and we ended up just talking for like half an hour because it was kind of like in limbo, like we had a problem, so we couldn't really work. So we ended up talking, and she just like poured out her testimony, and that was cool, and we kept in contact, and we met up a couple times for prayer. And then like a year later, I called her up, and I'm like, I know you kind of have a heart for this. And then she's the one that kind of opened doors to a couple other girls for me to meet. And then Samantha moved in, and we didn't realize until like 3 months later that it was like, oh, I met you at the Hell House also. And so it was this really cool small world community, so that is right. But so I love you guys, and thank you for your support and encouragement. I hope this helps you better understand of where I'm at, and I would love to connect with you more. So if you're like, even just like, hey, I'm in Rochester shopping at Hy-Vee from this time to this time, I'll come and walk with you and talk with you and connect. I would love that because I know we all have different lives and schedules. But I guess that's it. That's awesome. All I have. So. Thanks, man.